What's up, everybody, and welcome back to Fireside Giants. I'm your host, Anthony Rivardo, joined by my co-host, Alex Wilson, and we are creeping closer and closer to the 2024 NFL Draft, only a few weeks away. So many rumors just keep swirling about the New York Giants. What are they going to do with the number 6 overall pick? Will they even be picking at number 6 come that Thursday night, or will they trade up? Will they trade down? Will they end up going after a quarterback? Will they take the best wide receiver prospect available? I don't know. The anticipation, it's killing me. The suspense is killing me. I can't wait to see what finally happens. But as we get closer, we hear more rumors. We hear more quotes. We see more speculation online. And recently, a clip surfaced of LSU wide receiver prospect Malik Nabers, who's very highly expected to be a top target for the New York Giants at number 6. There's a great chance that he's on the board when they're picking and when they're on the clock. There's also a chance that he's not, but he's definitely been probably the most frequently mock drafted player by the Giants in mock drafts recently, in my opinion. I mean, everybody has Malik Nabers going to the Giants, but how does Malik Nabers feel about going to the Giants? Well, in this clip, he said he'd be excited to play for New York, but has some questions about the Giants quarterback situation, which is kind of like opening up Pandora's box. Having a top wide receiver prospect, a player that the Giants could ultimately draft, question their quarterback room? Very interesting situation. I've seen a lot of fans on social media react and say, hey, I don't even want him anymore. He's already not even on the team and he's making demands. That's how some people feel. Others are like, well, if he sees the problem, how do the Giants not see the problem? How do they not go for a quarterback over Malik Nabers in that case? So we're going to kind of just dive into this quote from him and kind of react to what it might mean for the Giants, what it might mean for Malik Nabers, and everything else in between as we continue to speculate and head into this upcoming NFL draft. But before we dive into all that, make sure to leave a like if you enjoyed this episode. Subscribe to the channel if you're new. Ring the bell so you don't miss an episode and comment your thoughts down below in the comment section. If you're listening to Apple or Spotify, please make sure to leave us a 5-star review and go ahead and follow us on all of our social media channels at Fireside Giants. Without further ado, Alex, how are you doing today, my friend? And what is your reaction to this quote from Malik Nabers?
I'm doing great. And this is definitely an interesting one from Malik. And, you know, talking about the Giants potentially getting one of the blue chip receivers in this draft class. I know I was watching an Instagram live of Jaden Daniels and Malik Nabers talking. And there was a Chargers fan in the chat and he was like, would you be happy? You know, I'll cry if the Chargers don't take you. And then Jaden Daniels goes, you might be crying then on draft day, indicating that maybe he's not going to the Chargers. I don't know. Maybe he'll go at 4. Maybe he'll go to another team earlier. Maybe just suggesting that he's going to go a little bit earlier than the Chargers pick, which definitely would be surprising because really 4 is the only other option there. So we'll see if a team like Arizona sticks and picks, and then maybe Marvin Harrison Jr., you know, drops to 5. It would be kind of a crazy scenario, but everyone knows how electrifying Malik Nabers is. The dude can, you know, blow the top off a defense. He has ridiculous speed, ridiculous yards after the catch. He's 20 years old, and the recent report that just dropped that he has character concerns. Are we really going through this crap again? We said the same thing. We saw the same thing happened to Kayvon Thibodeau, and he's been nothing but exemplary up to this point. So it's a load of crap. He was like, I don't know what they're talking about. It's BS, whatever you want to say about it. Classic media trying to make this guy fall a couple spots. Not surprised that those things are coming out. Nobody actually believes that those rumors and whatnot. Now, Tavondre Sweat's a little bit of a different story. He was arrested. Probably not a top 50 pick any longer. More of a mid-round pick now after the legal troubles he is facing. So apples and oranges, you know, different situations. One is just rumors and BS. The other is he actually got stopped for DWI. So not good on his part. But looking at, you know, the Giants right now, looking at their quarterback position, looking at do they have a guy that's going to lead them? And Malik Nabers said the quote kind of perfectly. And I think I agree with what he said. The exact quote, he says, if they got a caliber of receiver like me, they're going to want to give me the ball. So I'm sure they're going to want to figure out, want to have a quarterback who can do that. That's kind of insinuating they currently don't have a quarterback that can do that. You know, Daniel Jones, Drew Locke, do we really think they're going to maximize the WR1? Do we really think Daniel Jones is coming back from an ACL tear? And, you know, the whole nine. We've talked about this 100 billion times. I'm not going to go over it again. But I do think it's interesting that Nabers did say that. Now, I will say this. People act as if 2024 is the only year the Giants have, right? I think they need to draft the quarterback. That's my personal opinion. But if they went and got Malik Nabers, let's not act like he is not under contract for 5 years, you know, including that fifth-year option. Even if they don't have the quarterback situation figured out in 2024, that doesn't mean they're not going to figure it out in 2025 when he's a second-year player in the second year of his rookie contract. You know, like, there is other years to consider to build through. So, you know, what do you take away from this? Do you think it was just kind of like taken out of context? Or you think maybe this is legitimate concern from Malik Nabers saying they're going to want to get me the football, but do they have the quarterback position figured out to actually maximize my skill set and talent immediately in the NFL? Now, looking at guys like Garrett Wilson, he barely ever had a quarterback, and yet he has 1,000-yard receivers every single season. So it's not out of the question to say you can still get tremendous results from a receiver, even if you don't have like a top quarterback. But it doesn't really matter if they're the entirety of your offense doesn't click on all cylinders and fire on all cylinders. What are you taking away from this Nabers quote?
What I'm taking away from this Nabers quote, if you actually listen to it in its full context and hear the way that the question was asked, it's really the framing of the question. Jacina Anderson was interviewing Malik Nabers on CBS Sports HQ, and Jacina Anderson began the question by saying, hey, there are question marks surrounding Daniel Jones and whether or not he's going to be the quarterback next year, and they don't know if he's going to be the starting quarterback next season. How do you feel stepping into a situation where the quarterback situation is not figured out? And so Malik Nabers responded and said, I'm sure that they will figure it out and they're going to need to so that they can get me the ball, which is just objectively true. I don't think that he was giving his two cents or his analysis on Daniel Jones personally. I think it's just the way that the question was asked, how it was framed to him. He responded and said, they'll have to figure it out so that they can get me the ball. And that is a truth. I don't think he was making demands. I don't think he was saying that they need to trade Daniel Jones or cut Daniel Jones or draft a new quarterback. He didn't say anything like that. He didn't give his opinion or analysis on the Giants quarterback situation. He just responded to the question the way that the question was asked, which asked him, if the situation at quarterback is not fixed, how do you plan to respond? And he said, I'm sure that they'll fix it, and I'll just go out there and hope that they do fix it so I make plays. He didn't necessarily say, I think their quarterback situation is broken. The reporter said that. Jacina Anderson basically said they don't have their quarterback situation figured out. How do you feel about that? And you could apply that to any team. Malik Nabers could be saying that about anybody. But she asked specifically, with the Giants not having their quarterback situation fixed, how do you respond? And then he gave his response. So I don't hold this against him. I don't feel any type of way about what Malik Nabers said. I know that you're going to read the quote without the context and not hear the way that the question was asked. And you might feel differently because it said something. The exact quote actually was, if they got a caliber of receiver like me, they're going to want to give me the ball. So I'm sure they're going to want to have a quarterback who can do that. So he didn't say that that can or can't be Daniel Jones. That's just the way that the question was asked, and he responded and said they got to figure it out so that they can get me the ball. And that is true. If the Giants end up investing the number 6 overall pick into Malik Nabers, they have to get him the freaking ball. He's a talented player. He's a player that they're going to invest a lot into if they draft him. They've got to find a way to get the ball into the hands of their playmakers, whether that be Daniel Jones, freaking Tommy DeVito, Drew Locke, whoever it is. Maybe it's Michael Penix or Spencer Rattler, whichever quarterback is under center for the Giants does need to get the ball into the hands of their best playmaker. And if Malik Nabers were to be drafted from day one, he would be the Giants' most dangerous playmaking threat. And keep that in mind. So I don't have any problem with the quote. I just don't see it maybe the same way that some other fans are seeing it. Some of them feel like it was an indirect jab or a shot at Daniel Jones. I just don't view it that way. He didn't give his take or analysis on the Giants quarterback situation. He was asked to give his take on a broken quarterback situation and whether or not he could survive in a situation like that. And basically he said, yes, I can. Just get me the ball and I'll make plays. So that's my take on it, Alex. I don't know if you disagree, if maybe you feel like it was a shot. But again, just the way that the question was asked, when you listen to how the reporter Jacina Anderson framed it, I feel like it was a fine response. And also, this was a while ago. This was at the NFL scouting combine that this was asked. It's just now kind of going viral. And I think a lot of that has to do with the fact that fans are antsy and we're anticipating the draft. And there's a lot of controversy. Should the Giants take Nabers? Should they take a quarterback? So having him respond basically to that question is just a great way to spark even further conversation and debate here. But I really don't have a problem with what he said. I think that his response to the way that the question was asked was worded completely fine. And if they do draft him, yes, they got to figure out the quarterback situation. No matter who's on their center, has to find a way to get the ball in the hands of Malik Nabers.
Yeah, I mean, that's paramount, right? That goes without being said. If you draft Malik Nabers, you have the intention of making him your focal point on offense. You know, we talked about guys like Wandell Robinson a couple days ago, you know, three breakout candidates. You know, you have more mouths to feed if you have Malik Nabers. But look, he is the guy. And you know, you're talking about a player that can do dangerous things after the catch and do things dangerous before the catch. He can get open with yards of separation. Even Daniel Jones can hit those passes, man. The way that he gets open, you know, it's hard to miss sometimes when you have a player of that quality. And keep in mind, like, he's going to be 21 years old as a rookie, and he'll be 26 by the time his rookie contract comes to an end. That's a luxury, right? Like, that is, you know, 26-year-old superstar athlete like that. You know, that's what the Cowboys are currently about to face with CeeDee Lamb next offseason. And in fact, I was just reading a report this morning that CeeDee Lamb's thinking about holding out because he wants his bag. And same with Micah Parsons. Like, why do you think Dallas didn't spend a single dime this offseason? And they're telling Dak Prescott, you got to earn that next contract. We're not just going to give you a max contract right now for no reason. You know, they have big expenses coming up. And the truth is, if they, and I think, you know, Anthony, this is my personal opinion, if Dallas does not draft very, very, very well over the next 2 years, they may end up hitting a massive wall. Because if they do not draft well and do not develop their players well, and they spend everything they have to keep Micah Parsons, Dak Prescott, and CeeDee Lamb, and that's going to account for like 50, 60% of their cap space because of how much those guys are going to, we're talking 25, 30, 35, 40, $50 million for some of those guys. You're looking at a situation, if they don't develop their talent, they're screwed. You know what I mean? They're toast. Just like the Giants. We fail to and struggle to develop our draft talent. And that is why we are where we are. Because, you know, the mid-round picks that from Dave Gettleman's era are absolutely horrendous. We have an opportunity right now, and that's the risk you take, right, in the first round. And that's kind of – I want to kind of transition over to one topic right now. I know Connor Hughes, you know, posted his draft class or his mock draft, and he has the Giants moving up to fourth overall for the Arizona Cardinals. They still land their blue-chip prospect at receiver, and the Giants get J.J. McCarthy. Now, what do you do there, right? The conversation is really this. Do you take a chance on the upside – of a quarterback, of like a J.J. McCarthy in this instance, or do you take the guy that you know has the highest probability of being a superstar player in Malik Nabers? It is a tough decision because one of the guys, like Nabers, 21, young, same age as J.J., is going to be an instant impact player at the NFL level, instant impact for the next 10 years, whatever, eight years. J.J. McCarthy, we just don't know what he's going to be. You know, he can operate an NFL-style offense. Does he have that gunslinging upside that Brian Daboll wants to get from his quarterback position? Is he going to reach that ceiling that some people do project for him to have? Do you go for the more surefire thing? It's never guaranteed, but do you go for the more high probability of hitting? Or do you go for the risk because of the position at quarterback? You know, Anthony, it's a really loaded question. It's an impossible one to really answer, right? Right now, do you think the Giants are going to be more aggressive trying to find a quarterback with the upside or more safe and go for the BPA at six and just say, screw it, we're taking the best receiver possible, the most probable guy to hit? Or do you think this is the best draft class we've seen at quarterback in a long time and they have to make that move now?
I feel like you have to make that move now because you don't know how often you're going to be picking inside the top 10, especially inside the top six. Whenever you're there and you have the opportunity to land a quarterback from a rare class like this, I think you have to take advantage. But that's not me saying that I'm going to be upset if the Giants draft Malik Nabers. Guys, I'm going to be thrilled if the Giants end up with Malik Nabers. He is an excellent prospect. I think he's the best wide receiver prospect in this draft class. I know that's a little bit of an unpopular opinion. Others share it with me. I think Nabers is special, super explosive, dynamic after the catch, great before the catch. He's an absolute star in the making. So no, I'm not going to be upset if the Giants draft Malik Nabers, but I do feel like when you're in the situation to draft a quarterback early, you don't know how often you're going to be in that situation, and you should take advantage of such a situation. And so for the New York Giants picking number six, maybe moving up to number four, like Connor Hughes had them doing in that mock draft, J.J. McCarthy, controversial selection. I personally would be in support of it. I like McCarthy. I've made that opinion clear on this show. A lot of people disagree with me, don't see the talent there. And ultimately, what it's going to come down to, does Brian Daboll see the talent? Does he believe that he could take McCarthy or May or Daniels or Penix, whoever they trade up and take or stick and pick and take? Does Brian Daboll believe that he could develop that talent into being a winning quarterback at the next level? And that's all that it comes down to. You said it's a loaded question. It's almost impossible to answer. You're damn right about that, but somebody's got to answer it. You know, this is what Joe Shane and Brian Daboll get paid the big bucks to do. And at the end of the day, where do I think the Giants are going to go here in the draft? What do I think they're going to do? I think they're going to go for quarterback because let's just kind of put it into this perspective. Let's look at it this way. All of the rumors that we hear about the Giants, you kind of have to add them up. Like if you wanted to take Alex a score chart, you know, and just tally scores, how many tallies do you think the quarterback rumors versus the wide receiver rumors would get? I mean, the quarterback rumors that, with the New York Giants, they have been linked to every quarterback in every which way. Whether you're talking mid rounds in Spencer Rattler, you're talking Michael Penix in the second, Michael Penix at six, whether you're talking trading up to number one overall for Caleb Williams was a big rumor that we had like 2 months ago, or trading up to three with the Pats. Now it's four with the Cardinals. We heard the Giants are interested in trading up. Yesterday, we saw a report they're locking in on Jaden Daniels, and apparently if he's there at three, they're going to try and trade for him. Oh, apparently now they're really comfortable with J.J. McCarthy at six. The only time that we've heard a wide receiver rumor that I think is really prominent, we heard about them. Sean O'Hara said that they were drooling over Romo Dunze at one point. That's the only prominent one that I have. But, and yeah, there's been a few others, right? Like they had meetings with Malik Nabers and other receivers, sure. But if you want to take it and do a score chart here and tally up the scores, the quarterback rumors are blowing out the wide receiver rumors for the New York Giants. Everything indicates all that the speculation, every piece of information that insiders have given to the public, reporters, writers, sources, whatever you want to call it, they're all sharing that the Giants are doing their due diligence and trying to trade up and draft a quarterback. So if I was a betting man and I had to pick what I think the Giants are going to do, I do think they are going to take a quarterback just based on the probability of it, because of what we've heard and what we've read and all of the reports that we've received so far. They strongly indicate that that's what the Giants are leaning towards doing, is taking a quarterback with their first-round draft pick. Now, it takes two to tango, and it depends on how the draft board falls. Maybe the Giants are not in love with J.J. McCarthy. Maybe they feel like he is a second-round pick. You know, maybe they are in love with Jaden Daniels, and that's the only quarterback that they're in love with, so he's the only one that they would consider taking. It's totally possible that all of these rumors are adding up, and it's true. The Giants want a quarterback, but the opportunity doesn't arise, and they can't get one because nobody wants to trade down with them. It's also a possibility. Maybe they just end up taking Malik Nabers, which, again, I'll clarify for the millionth time. I would love Malik Nabers in Giants blue. But yeah, just to answer your question there, Alex, what do I think is going to happen? Just tally it up, man. You could see what all the rumors are indicating that the Giants are going to do, whether it's Rich Eisen, Jordan Rannan, Art Stapleton. Name your reporter. Name your NFL insider. Mike Garofolo said, what was that weird quote that he had? 76.9% or some random number that he threw out there that the Giants are going to take a quarterback. Everything, man. All the reporters and insiders, the top dogs, they're saying quarterback for the Giants, so that's what I'm going to believe. And if it ends up being receiver, then I just know that the Giants are getting a dominant playmaker for whichever quarterback is throwing the ball next season. And hey, man, hopefully, it's not outside of the realm of possibility, that playmaker steps in and turns our quarterback into a star. Maybe Malik Nabers makes Daniel Jones have this career resurgence. Do I think that's going to happen? Would I bet on that happening? No, you guys know I personally don't believe that's going to happen, but it could. So there's so many different ways that this thing could go, so many different scenarios that could play out for the New York Giants. But if I were a betting man, I really do believe that the New York Giants are going to target a quarterback in the first round of this draft. But if they don't, man, you won't hear any complaints from me if we land Malik Nabers. I'll be definitely happy with that.
Absolutely. I have some really good quotes here. I was just reading an article from Albert Breere, another NFL insider, another guy who, you know, is spewing a lot of stuff. But there's some quotes from Joe Shane here that I think you're going to really like from what his process was at Buffalo with Brian Daboll to select Josh Allen. And this could point to some interesting things. So he said, trust me, we took a quarterback in Buffalo that nobody wanted. Brandon came up to the press conference and was like, gosh dang, you would have thought somebody's dog died down here. He went on to say, you know, I'll read this quote verbatim. Go with your gut. You've been doing it for 23 years. You do all the work. You do all the homework. You've been through this before. You're prepared for it. You have a good staff. Do what we know is right. Don't worry about the outside noise. I've known it since I was a first-year scout. I was scouting Calvin Pace. He was a Wake Forest defensive end. I was a combine scout. You got graded where you were put the guy for the league. I wasn't grading for the Panthers. I was grading for the league. And he said that another team took him in the first round. He ended up moving to the second round because people questioned him. And obviously, he ended up becoming a great talent. So, you know, looking at Joe Shane's past and his history, it is evident to me, you know, they said that there was a reporter that said they took the wrong Josh, right, in regarding Josh Rosen over Josh Allen. And now Josh Allen's one of the best players in the league. So he kind of like combined a bunch of variables here where it's like trust your gut, trust your experience, trust your research, keep the outside noise out, all the stuff saying JJ can do this, JJ can do that, Jaden Daniels can't do this, Jaden can do this or can't do that. You see what you see. You take all those information, you meet with these guys privately. The Giants have sent contingencies to every single pro day, if not met with these guys privately. They've had They've hosted J.J. McCarthy and Drake May. They met with Michael Penix privately. They've even went to the Caleb Williams pro day, even though they're not going to get him. You know, it's like they've done the due diligence for all of these guys. Even last year, they met with Will Levi and Anthony Richardson. So you see, like, this is not unusual for the Giants to be scouting quarterbacks. It builds their process. You know, it makes it more refined. So that way, when they're going to do this this year, they have a really good situation and process in their hands. And it's evident, right? We all know this. The information that we've heard, the Giants are scouting the quarterbacks, as you mentioned before. It's not out of the realm of possibility they end up walking away with one. However, don't rule out the possibility that the Giants may have a guy graded in the first round that could be actually a day two guy in their head, or a day two guy that could be a round one guy in their head, you know? It could be vice versa, it could be either or, it could be someone that's a first round pick they really love, they want an opportunity to get him, join a run on, usually pretty spot on with these things. Last year, he pointed out Deonte Banks, says the Giants really like Jaden Daniels, right? That's exciting. You guys know, I'm a massive Jaden Daniels fan. He fits Brian Dable's offense like a glove. You know, his downfield aptitude, his rushing qualities, his electrifying persona, his ability to come in clutch in big games and big moments. Yes, tremendous supporting cast, but you can't win Super Bowls without a tremendous supporting cast, guys. It's not possible. Patrick Mahomes is the only one that can somehow survive without really great receivers, but hey, he had an amazing defense, and he has Travis Kelce, let's not forget, not to mention, you know, Isaiah Pacheco, and Rashee Rice was tremendous this past season. He has some good players, and he's also the best player on the planet, so you expect him to elevate everybody else, but you have to have a good supporting cast to win championships. The Giants are trying to build that supporting cast for whoever ends up taking over at the quarterback position if they go in that direction, so don't think of it as 2024 is the end of this rebuild. To me, this is the beginning of this rebuild. They have Andrew Thomas locked up, Dexter Lawrence locked up, rookie contracts scattered throughout the entire roster. They signed a couple of good free agents this year. You know, they obviously went out and got Brian Burns and signed him to a big contract. They have Deonte Banks on a rookie contract. Bobby Okereke should have been an all-pro player last year, and he's going to the second year of a four-year deal. This team has linchpin pieces, you know. 2024 is the beginning of this rebuild. Why? Because if they take this quarterback, that is what it's going to be. Last year was the first year of the Texans rebuild to me. The first year of a rookie quarterback is the first year of a true rebuild. We have been trying to shed bad contracts off this roster for years since Joe Shane took over and Dave Gettleman was, you know, retired and whatnot. You know, we've been trying to get rid of the bad parts of Dave Gettleman's tenure here for two freaking years. Contracts that have been eating us alive. You know, we had no money to spend the first season Joe Shane was here. And last year, we were even held back a bit. This year was the first time that Joe Shane was able to implement his financial strategy, go out and get Brian Burns, do what he had to do, find pieces to continue building the foundation, and just developing the players through the draft. And we found some really good players, by the way. You know, I think Jason Pinnock was a steal. Banks is going to be a CB1, in my opinion. Kayvon Thibodeau has the upside to be elite. Dexter Lawrence has finally blossomed into that tremendous player. I think that we're going to see a lot of a better team this year because the foundation's built, the financials are in place. This is the first year of a rebuild for me. That's how I personally feel about it. I think that's how they probably feel about it. This is where our plan started. Once we got rid of the bad crap left over from Gettleman, I imagine you probably feel a similar way to that.
Yeah, I do feel a similar way. And kind of the next step in this conversation that I want to take, though, Alex, is look at that trade that we kind of mentioned earlier that Connor J. Hughes projected in his mock draft where the Giants moved up for J.J. McCarthy, because this is a rebuild, and tying in to your point about it being a rebuild, the New York Giants need draft capital. That's how you rebuild. It ties into what you were saying about the Dallas Cowboys earlier. Cowboys did nothing in free agency. They can't afford to. They need to build through the draft and add young talent to develop, right? The Giants need to do the same thing. You can't just patchwork your team with free agents. You have to have in-house homegrown talent develop. Got to hit on those draft picks. So can the Giants really afford to trade up in the draft and sacrifice some of those picks? Well, it's going to be tough to really move on from some high-ranking top 100 draft picks. But in this projected trade package from Connor J. Hughes, I think there's some pros and some cons that I want to dive into from it. He had the Giants trading the number 6 pick, number 70 third-round pick, and a 2025 second-round pick for the number 4 overall pick. So what I love about this trade package, Alex, and I'll let you give your take on it, I love that the Giants held on to their second-round pick, number 47 overall, because it gives the opportunity for the Giants to go ahead and take the QB at number four, McCarthy in this situation. Take the wide receiver at 47. There is going to be a talented receiver on the board for the Giants with the 47th overall pick in this year's class because it is so strong and so deep at that position. In this mock draft in particular, Connor J. Hughes had the Giants taking McCarthy. And then at 47, Keon Coleman out of Florida State, who we talked about last week, who we like and a lot of Giants fans really like and would love to get at number 47 overall. So, Alex, that's where I want to throw it back to you and kind of reframe this and ask, that trade package where the Giants keep this year's second-round pick, trade away next year's second-round pick, lose their third-round pick this year, though, move up two spots, take J.J. McCarthy. How do you feel about that? Again, there's pros and there's cons to it. I think it's a package that you'd like, and I know I would. I'd be happy with this because the Giants keep that number 47 overall pick, but what are your thoughts on that trade package?
I love that concept. I would pull the trigger on this 10 times out of 10. Even if it's for, you know, let's assume it's not just J.J. McCarthy there, like he has it. Let's assume it could be Jaden Daniels. It could be J.J., it could be whoever. I am making that pick because that 47th overall pick is super valuable, super valuable. The sixth overall pick, third this year and a second next year, is easy for me to move up two spots to get a quarterback. I mean, like, you pull the trigger on that, to my, in my personal opinion. That 47th pick is valuable. You can get a wide receiver in a very deep class, and you don't have to give up your first rounder next year. And, you know, next year, maybe there's some really good players in the Giants in the first year of a, you know, rebuild. Maybe they're still a top 15 picking team. You know, obviously, we hope not, but it's possible they are. And if they are, you still have the ability to add a key playmaker to this offense. And I think that's super valuable to have. Look, I'm fine giving up a third round pick this year. Next year's draft class is next year's draft class, and we're not even thinking about that right now. We're thinking about 2024 and how to improve this team. If you have to trade a 2025 second rounder to help move up to get a quarterback that's going to set you up with rookie money for the next five seasons, you freaking do it, man. If you don't have to give up a first round pick or a second round pick this year, it's a luxury. It's a luxury to move up two spots and only give up that amount. So, in fact, I'm not even sure if it's realistic. That's how much I'm like, I would do that. You know what I mean? So, but again, for the fourth overall pick is interesting because, like, which one of those quarterbacks do fall? Are there enough flags for Jaden Daniels that people decide to pass on him? Or are there enough flags on Drake May? Are people not completely bought in on J.J. McCarthy? Right now, I think the whole league is wondering where the hell these guys are going to go. Like, I am in complete clouds. I don't have no idea how these quarterbacks are going to go. I mean, of course, Caleb Williams. But after that, where do the Commanders go? You know, what quarterback do they prefer? You know, I think that Drake May fits them a little bit better long-term in terms of his age and upside and, you know, his gunslinging mentality. J.J. McCarthy also, like, you know, you look at Adam Peters coming from the 49ers. He comes from an offense that loves structure at the quarterback position. It loves structure on offense. Maybe J.J. McCarthy, is it out of the realm that two is possible for J.J.? Because, like, he's an NFL-style quarterback. Like, he can do all the things, the basic things, at a very high level. Like, then you build off the upside there. He's not going to lose you games, you know? The question is, can he win you games, right? Like, that really is it. He's not going to lose you them, but is he going to win them for you? That may be something that the Commanders want to build on and see if they can get that next attribute out of him. Jaden Daniels, like, he's the electrifying boomer bust candidate. Like, he could be, you know, something that ends up becoming, like, nothing, a backup, or he could be a superstar. That's kind of the qualities he has. I think his floor is a little bit higher than people give him credit for personally. Some people think he's a boomer bust. And I think, you know, that's kind of the risk you take with him if you're the consensus general public right now. So four could be anybody, man. Four could really be anybody. To move up to three, you're going to probably have to give up next year's first round pick. And again, I'm doing it. If we can land one of those top guys, you know, have the choice between Drake or Jaden or JJ and move up to three, and all you have to give up is next year's first round pick, the 47th overall pick this year, you could argue, is even more valuable than next year's first round pick because of how deep this draft class is in multiple positions. So, and if the Giants end up being good next year, you know, they could be picking in the late 20s, early 20s, mid 20s. And then the 47th overall pick ends up becoming equivalent to more valuable than that, you know, because of how strong this draft class is. So, yeah, like, I'm in the consensus right now that if there's a chance to move up and you have two options on the quarterback at the quarterback position, if you can get up to three, that would be my preferable spot. I'd be more willing to do that. But I'm curious to see where these guys go, man. Those top four quarterbacks, like, I really have no clue what's going to happen there. But, you know, maybe the Giants really loved Michael Penix. Maybe they see that Josh Allen attribute, and maybe they see that, like, everyone's overlooking this guy, and we can even move back and get him and get more draft capital and restock. Like, you know, anything's possible. Not my preference, but anything's possible. You know, so I think I'm in the same boat as you, is that, like, I think the quarterback position is the right move to go. Of course, 17 days from now, we're going to find out. I'm excited, man. I mean, we've been waiting. It's been a long process, but the future of this franchise really hangs in the balance right now. And I think this is the first year of a rebuild, and I think getting a quarterback would be a pretty damn good addition to that first kind of, this is Joe Shane's team now. This is not the leftovers of Dave Gettleman.
Yeah, I mean, I'm excited, man. Like you said, 17 days away. You mentioned there, would it be the third pick, the fourth pick? Which quarterback would it be? That's why I don't think there's going to be a trade made by the New York Giants until the night of the draft, if one happens. Like, we've seen in the past, I think it was about 2-3 weeks before the 2018 NFL draft, the New York Jets moved up from 6 to 3 very early on in the process, weeks before, because they knew that they were comfortable taking one of a couple quarterbacks who would be on the board at 3, right? Now, the New York Giants sitting here, I don't think that they feel that way. Moving up from 6 to 3 now, I think that they probably have a specific guy that they like, and they're going to wait to see if he's on the board at 3 or 4 before they make the trade up to go ahead and get their guy. But maybe I'm wrong. Maybe they do make a trade. Maybe tomorrow we wake up, Alex, and who knew? The Giants made a trade overnight, and there you go. Now we got more to talk about. It's totally possible. So we'll have to keep examining the rumors, the reports, and all the speculation around the New York Giants. But bottom line, to wrap up the discussion on this episode, what Malik Nabor said, I didn't have a problem with. You might disagree with me. I'm open to hearing different opinions down below. I would love Malik Nabor for the New York Giants, but as we continue to discuss in this episode, trading up to 3 or 4 and taking a quarterback, that is my preference. But I would really only want to do it, only want to move up and make sure you get your guy if it's the guy that Brian Daboll likes the most. And if the Giants can somehow manage to keep that number 47th overall pick, I think that would be huge for them as they continue to rebuild this roster and add talent to this team. So that pretty much wraps this one up. Make sure to leave a like if you enjoyed this episode. Subscribe to the channel if you're new and ring the bell so you don't miss an episode, and comment your thoughts down below in the comment section. If you're listening at Apple or Spotify, please make sure to leave us a 5-star review and go ahead and follow us on all of our social media channels at Fireside Giants. But without further ado, we will catch you on the next one. Have a good one, and let's go Giants.